Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average, and those savings add up. Imagine what you could buy in the future.
So yeah, I used the savings from switching to Progressive 50 years ago to finally buy my dream car. It's a self-driving flying car, but we just say self-flying now. You know, because it's the future, and cars fly in the future.
So switch to Progressive and save big, because those savings can add up in the future. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National annual average insurance savings by new customer surveyed who saved with Progressive in 2020. Potential savings will vary.
You are listening to the Sideline Sass Podcast, episode 15.
40 minutes of March sassness.
You just couldn't hold that in.
I couldn't. I needed to do it.
Today, we are talking all things college basketball. The upsets, the Cinderellas, the tears, the fears.
The nuns.
The nuns. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to cover, and we have a very special guest joining us from the games in Atlanta, and his name is Pat Forty.
Get it? 40 minutes of March sassness.
Too clever. And we may have another special guest joining us from Boston, but I'm going to keep that hush until we lock it up. So you're going to have to listen.
So let's just get started.
Let's go.
What up, everyone? Kaylee Chris here with Emily Van Buskirk, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Sideline Sass Podcast.
If this is your first time listening, then welcome to the best college basketball podcast of your life tonight. Yes. The Sideline Sass Podcast is produced every 2 weeks for your enjoyment, and show notes can be found on our page at audioboom.com.
Come back often, and feel free to add us to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Sideline Sass with 3 S's, or give us a like on Facebook.
And brand new alert, major key, you can now visit our website, SidelineSassWith3S's.com, for all your audio, video, and written sports needs. You can also follow our individual handles. I'm at MLNEM on Twitter and Instagram.
I am at Miss Krish on Twitter or at Cakes88 on IG.
All right, enough with the social media stuff. Let's get to the nitty gritty.
Let's get sassy.
Woo!
Nitty gritty, was that an HQ reference?
Alright guys, we are joined now by National College columnist, nailed it, Pat Forty, Yahoo writer, extraordinaire,
bracketologist,
defender of good, and writer seeker of great. Welcome, Pat.
Thank you very much. It's an honor. It's a privilege to be on with you. I don't know whether I deserve to be called a bracketologist because my bracket, like most everybody else's, is a disaster.
Well, thank God. I'm glad I'm not the only one who shredded mine.
Yeah, no. I have my national championship matchup still intact. I have Villanova and Michigan.
What?
But
wow.
Other than that,
and
everything
Michigan.
Else is a mess.
Wow.
There was this one time that I actually witnessed Pat writing his bracket on a wall when we were in St. Louis. There was a giant size bracket, and I dared him to fill it in with his picks.
Nice.
And I wonder if they saved that, because they probably should have. It was probably legendary.
It's probably worth some money.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite times.
I'm sure it's been saved for posterity. I'm just glad we didn't get arrested.
I know. We have been very fortunate to escape.
Yeah.
Wrath like that. Anyway, so why don't you walk us through some of the games that you've covered so far on the trail and tell us what it's been like?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. It's all a matter of luck of the draw as far as where you are. And I was where the games were not that exciting in the first week. I was in Pittsburgh, and there was an overtime game, the first game between Rhode Island and Oklahoma. That was good. But
oh, yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise, it was basically watching Duke and Villanova steamroll people. So I didn't get a lot of the drama. I didn't get Loyola. I didn't get Sister Jean and the last second shots and all that business. I didn't get the 16 over the one. I didn't get the Nevada comeback. So, you know, it's...
But wasn't that kind of nice, like presenting a sense of normalcy in your world, being able to see teams win that should win and games go the way they're supposed to? Isn't that kind of... like calming and centering?
It's boring. You know, we don't want things to go like they're expected to go in this business. You know, we want the unpredictable.
Well, when it comes to Virginia winning, that is all we wanted.
Yeah.
That is all the people wanted to see.
We wanted that.
I think me and Emily are the only ones that wanted that.
We're the ones that are, yeah. Yeah,
yeah no.
We shouldn't talk about that.
We shouldn't. It's going to be an unpopular opinion.
Yeah, the single biggest upset in NCAA tournament history, and it wasn't just it didn't take a last-second shot. It was a beatdown, and I think it's a huge repudiation of Virginia and the way they play.
Well, since you've been, you know, able to watch Duke and Villanova, what do you see from them long-term? Do you think, you know, finals for them, or what do you see?
You did say you have Villanova in your finals, so why?
Yeah, I got Villanova in the championship game, so I expect to see them there. I think they are the best offensive team in the tournament. They can absolutely shoot the heck out of it. They pass it well. They got a bunch of guys that can beat you. So I love where they're sitting. Duke is playing great as well. Duke has the most talent, I think, in the tournament.
Right.
It's a little bit younger talent for the most part, other than Grayson Allen. And so the question is, you know, can those guys maintain focus and handle the pressure and that sort of thing? They both got a great chance, and that's, I'm in Atlanta and we'll see what happens here with Loyola and Nevada and Kentucky and Kansas State here Thursday night, but it's going to be it's going to be really interesting just to see who can get to San Antonio, and then I think you start from scratch once you're there.
Every round, I feel like we're kind of starting from scratch. But you mentioned this kind of a boring, you know, time when you were in the first two rounds, but now you're getting arguably the most interesting game of the tournament between Loyola, Chicago, and Nevada. What do you expect to see in a game like this from two teams that have fought tooth and nail to be here, but are very surprising?
Yeah, you know, and I've kind of been on the Loyola bandwagon all year. I actually did pick up to go to the Sweet 16. I watched them play a couple of times early.
Wow, you and my mom.
Really, yeah. I just love the way they play, and they had a great season. I was scared to death they were going to lose in the Missouri Valley Tournament and then get snubbed by the committee, so I'm glad that didn't happen. They got their chance, and they've taken advantage of it. And, you know, they're talk about a veteran bunch, and they play well together. They're not terribly athletic. They're not terribly big, but they're clutch. I mean, obviously, two incredible game-winning shots when they're facing elimination. And, you know, Nevada, on the other hand, is tough to kill, too, because they've been down. They've barely led in either of their first two games. They were behind almost the whole game against Texas and then won at the end. And then they were 22 points behind Cincinnati and came back to win. And they didn't lead that game until the last 9 seconds, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But here they are, and they can really score. They can, you know, they've got some offensive firepower. So we'll see if Loyola can make shots with them.
Well, so when you have two teams like this that are clearly just like fighters, they're scrappy. They're not going to give up. What becomes the difference maker in two immovable forces like that?
Yeah, you know, I think veterans, you know, and having guys that have. Mm-hmm. Played a lot of basketball and played a lot together and know, you know, what it takes. They're not going to panic. I've never seen a team panic quite like Virginia did. But these teams aren't, Nevada and Loyola are not going to do that. And I just think it's so important to maintain some level of poise in these tournament games. And, you know, things are going to go badly for you at some stretch in the game. Can you handle it and go through it, get past it?
Now, do you think that there's any point in watching this Nevada Loyola game any further into it besides like the last 8 minutes left of the game, since they're both last minute fighters? Just tune in at the end.
I'm going to be watching the whole game. I hope you will be as well.
Well, I hope so.
You know, it's likely to be interesting and eventful, I would say, along the way. So, yeah, I'd say, you know, you guys are on Pacific time, so, you know, what I'm trying to think, you know, put down the dinner fork and watch the game, because it's going to be good.
Do you think we eat dinner at 4 o'clock? Isn't that when it starts? I think you haven't hung out with me in a while. We need to rewind. Okay, so when you're looking at K-State, Kentucky,
yeah.
There's no way K-State beats them, right? Like, that's not going to happen.
I would be surprised. Of course, there have been a lot of surprises so far this tournament, but I still think Kansas State can score. You know, that's not a very good offensive team. I'm still not convinced Kentucky is great by any means. They've gotten one of the luckiest draws in NCAA tournament history, basically. So they could end up in the Final Four really without fully being challenged. It's possible.
I know. It's crazy. And it's that also, I feel, is how Kansas has had kind of a – I mean, they definitely had to play in that game against Seton Hall, but I, being a Kansas fan, was very surprised and did not put them that far because they always disappoint me in the tournament. I'm a little surprised that they're here now and that we may see them in a good Elite Eight matchup. What do you think about Kansas's chances advancing?
Yeah, your beloved Jayhawks, who have a history of gagging in the tournament.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they've certainly got a chance. I mean, things, I think, are setting up for them. They finished the season well. They were very good in the Big 12 tournament. They've been good so far in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, I mean, if you're looking for teams that came through the first weekend in good shape, Kansas is definitely one of them, and that's a veteran bunch, guys that should be able to withstand the pressures of a Sweet 16 and a regional final. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them in it for the long haul as well.
If you had to pick one game for people to watch over the next 2 days out of this round, what game would you say that would be?
I think Michigan against I'm blanking suddenly. Who's Michigan playing?
Texas A&M,
Texas A&M.
Look at Kaylee with the assist. Yeah. The least college basketball person in this conversation. Just saved the day.
Hey, way to go.
Jesus.
Way to go.
Thanks. I have to contribute sometime.
Texas A&M's very talented. Yeah. They underachieved all season. They were, you know, very inconsistent. But I think everybody thought going into the year that they were top 10 or 15 talent. So it's just a matter of them putting it together, and now they have in a pretty big way. I mean, for them to just stomp North Carolina was pretty amazing.
I know, but part of me thinks like, okay, they have this great game against UNC, which was huge, but I feel like they used up a lot of the magic in the big game situation, and it's going to be hard to replicate that another time, you know, another time if they have to.
That's the thing. I mean, you'll see teams that shoot one big bullet and they don't have a whole lot left, but we'll see. You know, that's part of the intrigue of the tournament. Who's got it for the long haul? Who can sustain it?
And that kind of brings me to a question that I asked Emily last week that she wasn't really sure how to answer. So, what? Well, here it
comes.
Put
me on blast here.
No. It's a legitimate question. Okay. Do you think that by the end of the tournament in the national championship, we actually see the highest level of play from these teams after they've played
their hearts out for so many rounds?
Yeah. Five games.
I've never heard anyone ask that.
That's a very good question, because I've said before that you see teams run out of gas, hit the wall in the second half of the championship game an amazingly frequent amount of times. I mean, I think 2015, Wisconsin absolutely was just gassed. Yeah. They were done with 10 minutes, actually about 8 minutes to play against Duke, and lost the championship there. Michigan totally hit the wall late against Louisville in 2013. It is hard. You're playing your sixth game in a short amount of time with a lot of travel, a lot of pressure, a lot of excitement and adrenaline, and with that Saturday to Monday turnaround really seems to be one that wipes out at least one team, and sometimes both teams. Sometimes both teams are dead tired at the end of that thing.
Yeah, and I mean, could we say that really good teams are supposed to be able to handle that and fight through, but it just doesn't always happen?
Yeah, it doesn't always. I mean, you see some great players who are absolutely shot at that point. I mean, I remember, you know, Sam Decker for Wisconsin could barely get up and down the court at the end. Russ Smith for Louisville, who's, you know, a scoring machine, could barely play in the last game. And it just happens. It's a long season, and it can catch you at the very end.
So, okay, moving away from the play on the court, let's talk about some of the storylines that have less to do with basketball, more to do with cultural stuff. Did you buy into the UMBC Twitter frenzy?
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. I loved it. I mean, you know,
you just didn't think it was like, and not like maybe reached a point where it was like, okay, this is too much.
You know what? You could probably argue that, but I know this. It was, you know what? When is UMBC ever going to have that moment again? They should play it to the hilt.
That's true.
And, you know, it's great to see everybody, you know, get behind it. I'm a retriever believer. UMBC retriever believer.
A retriever believer.
I didn't actually see that well.
Wow.
And then my other question that it's actually a burning question for me personally. I don't know if you saw the St. Mary's Utah game last night in the NIT. You probably didn't watch that, but I don't know if did you see that or no?
See, well, I'm sorry. No, I didn't hear you. What?
The Utah St. Mary's game last night in the NIT.
Oh, I did not. Nope, I don't watch the NIT.
No, okay.
As a matter of principle.
Oh, okay.
I like it. Let's get to that.
Normally, I would be with you on that, but I went to St. Mary's. I got kicked out of St. Mary's, and I avidly root against them now. So I tuned in to see the Pac-12 matchup. Utah obviously beat them, clearly. My question is, we have Gonzaga in this WCC conference that's weak, obviously, because it's a smaller conference. How much does it mean for them to move into a bigger or stronger or just any other conference to gain credibility?
You know, yeah, I mean, if I were them, I would strongly consider it. I think the Mountain West would be a good option for them. Not so much at the top. I mean, because usually St. Mary's is good and BYU is at least pretty good. But the bad teams are pretty darn bad in that league, and I just think the middle and lower levels of the Mountain West, for the most part, you would get better competition, you know, and I certainly better exposure, I think, as well. I just think it would be good for Gonzaga to make that move.
But do you think that they just never will because they want to be the top dogs in their own conference?
No, they have to. They have to.
But
I don't know. I mean, you know, they don't have to. They certainly didn't. I mean, they've got a good thing going. They could certainly say
right?
We don't need to change anything. We're competing for national championships within the West Coast Conference, and we're winning it every time. We get to, you know, got pretty good hand we're dealt here. But I just I just think it would be more interesting to me to see them play, you know, San Diego State and New Mexico.
No, I would have more
Nevada.
Respect for them. You know what I mean? If they upped their competition, I would have more respect for them. If they up their competition, because I was a WC athlete and I know how bad it is when it's bad. St. Mary's is not always good, but I mean, USD, Pepperdine, I mean, these aren't schools that you should be playing. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
it makes me mad.
It would be, I think, more enjoyable to see them play better competition night in and night out. But again, they are not suffering doing what they're doing now.
All right, we have two more things we want to ask you, and one of them is not even basketball related, but the first one, we got to ask about Sister Jean. You know, this has been a big storyline throughout Loyola's run. And
so let's kind of explain that to people who don't understand what's going on. So Sister Jean's bracket.
I don't know what her bracket is. I just know.
Well, yeah, go ahead, Pat. You know the story.
Well, Sister Jean, 98-year-old nun team chaplain for Loyola Chicago, and wheelchair bound but full of life and energy and basketball wisdom. She sends the players a scouting report on their next opponent every game and sends them emails after the games, you know, congratulating them or encouraging them. And she watches everything. She's totally into it. She's been part and parcel of the Loyola community for a long, long time. Got an apartment on the campus there, and I mean, it's a very cool story for her at 98 years old to have this happening as a part of a program that really hasn't been good for a very long time. So she's become, as she herself pointed out, not just a national celebrity but an international
celebrity.
She is super sassy. We need to have her
on.
Not that you're not sassy, Pat, but you know.
What's that? I'm sorry.
Sassy
I didn't
enough. Anyway, so
a swing and a miss on my end. So, so you have this woman who's become, you know, kind of an unofficial mascot for them, and people they cut to her in the stands more than they cut to anything on TV, and she's truly inspirational. And then we have a very not very outspoken, that's good, sports writer who made an inappropriate comment, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think it was inappropriate, about Sister Jean when Loyola was beating Tennessee, and you happened to see it and commented on it. So maybe you could give us your thoughts on what this guy said.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I thought it was just a tremendously classless thing to say, to direct an expletive like that at a 98-year-old nun.
Yeah.
Just, you know, some yahoo from Knoxville, Tennessee, and after Loyola had beaten Tennessee. And I think the guy took a lot of grief for it, and I think he should have. I'm kind of surprised his employer didn't fire him. I think in a lot of reputable media outlets, that would have been a fireable offense,
yeah.
But it wasn't at this place in Knoxville. So whatever. But, you know, Sister Jean, when they go low, she goes high. I'm sure she rose above it. She's okay.
I wonder if they even would bother to tell her that story. I would hope not. Maybe just
I would
that.
Hope that never actually reached her
ears.
Her level of consciousness. Yeah, but so.
It's amazing what people will do when they're bitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twitter is a dangerous vehicle.
It is.
For idiots.
I know. You know what? The world's full of all kinds of insane sports fans, and I guess we need them to a degree, but there's some we could do without.
So moving on from that, we'll get back to a little bit of basketball here. But in the finals, you said you have Michigan and Villanova, but who do you have taking it all?
Who's cutting down the nets?
I've got Villanova. You know, okay. They've been incredibly consistent all year. As I said, probably the best offensive team in the country, and a group of guys that play super well together. And Mikhail Bridges, when he elevated his level of play, they had two star players now, not just Jalen Brunson, and then a lot of other guys that are very good as well around them. They got a coach who knows how to win a title, and some of these players were involved in that title team 2 years ago, so I'm taking Villanova.
I was at that game.
It was a good game.
Yeah, wasn't that in Houston? Right?
Houston.
Yeah, that's right. I was there. That was my only Final Four I've ever covered, but it was phenomenal.
Yeah,
So the last thing we wanted to talk to you about, because we see this on your Twitter all the time, and we actually caught up with you at Stanford about it, is the swimming at Stanford. We see all the posts from you, and we wanted to ask you, you know, what it's been like watching that season, particularly for you.
The Stanford swimming season?
Mm-hmm.
It was tremendous. It was the funnest season I've ever watched of any team in any sport. It was just awesome. And I hope you guys were paying close attention. But, yeah,
yeah,
I mean, they won the national
title
in dominant fashion. And so, you know, arguably some people have said the best women's swim team of all time. And it was incredible to watch. Set a ton of records at the NCAA championship, American records, NCAA records, et cetera. And, you know, yeah, it's been very fun for my daughter to be part of it and, you know, be on the same team with Olympic champions and all Americans and everything else. And now she gets to call herself an all American and a national champion as well. So pretty cool. No complaints.
That is super
she
exciting.
She might now have better stories than you. This might put her stories in another echelon.
It's true.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
We're going to have to get
I'm
her on the podcast.
Yes. She's leading a much more interesting life than I am.
Well, hopefully you can find some angles tonight in these games at Atlanta and maybe get a little more than dinner, you know, one of these nights. We expect you to hold up the media level of fun on these trips. It's high expectations.
I will do my best.
All right, Pat. Well, we'll hopefully have you on again when we get narrowed down a little bit and you can give us some more expertise and bracket knowledge. But thank you so much for coming on and enjoy the games tonight.
All right. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.
awesome interview and perspective from Pat Forty, Yahoo columnist, who, you know, gets to experience these games firsthand, which obviously, you know, you get to feel the energy, you get to feel the way the momentum is shifting, mm-hmm. which is so much better than us
Way
sitting
better.
Here watching it on TV.
Way better. That's why I go cover games. I literally have had arguments with people about this, saying, oh, I can cover a game from my couch and I can write about it there. Sure, you can. Is it going to be as good as someone who was at the game? No, it's just not. I mean, unless you're a terrible writer, but if you're at the game, you can feel the team's energy, you can feel the crowd. It's just different. And so
you can literally, especially in a basketball mm-hmm. game, because you're so close to the
action.
It's palpable
in basketball.
You can feel that momentum mm-hmm. shift. A moment that, you know, a team goes on a 0-6 run or whatever, that you can feel how the momentum is shifting. Yeah.
And media gets to be courtside mostly for those games. So mm-hmm. you get to be very involved. And I think that's why having guys like Pat, so shout out Pat, thank you for coming on. Mm-hmm. And our, you know, our next guest, mystery guest.
Mystery.
Having guys like that or people like that on for those of us that aren't there is valuable. And it's kind of cool to, I think, to hear that.
So. Even though he said he was at the boring side of the
game. He did say that.
but no, so we got to interview Pat a little bit earlier mm-hmm. in this segment before any of these games happened. Mm-hmm. But as of right now, we are in the first half of mm-hmm. the Kentucky-Kansas State game, which they just went to commercial, so I don't know what the score is. But in saying that, we have another big win for Loyola Chicago Ramblers. They are moving on in this tournament. They beat Nevada 69-68. It was, you know, within the last 2 minutes, obviously.
Mm-hmm. It's nothing short of miraculous,
I would say Sister Jean might have something to do with this.
I don't know if it's like...
She really has, you know, that connection with God.
She does. I mean, she deserves it. You know, God bless her. Like, literally, mm-hmm. she is a saintly woman, and we love hearing about her. So, yeah, I'm happy that they beat Nevada, but I'm also bummed because Nevada's... They're fun to watch, and they're fans. I don't know if anyone notices or if you saw this, but, like, when Nevada plays, they have this group, like, the wife and the daughter of the coach. Mm-hmm. They show them all the time, and they're just over ecstatic at everything. And I'm like, that's me in every game that I go to college basketball wise. So they're like my inner fan spirit animal. So I'm going to miss that.
Yeah. I do like seeing them. And they're one of those West Coast teams that, we don't have many of those.
We really don't.
So it was nice to see them. Really, but I would love to have been. Do you think that Sister Jean goes into the locker room pregame?
Oh, yeah.
And does it?
Because she does like a pregame. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's on the court or in the locker room, but I would have to assume that she's in there to a degree.
And I would love to know.
I'm sure they're keeping her close as possible right now.
I would think so. Yeah, definitely. Close to the sleeve.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Kansas State's leading Kentucky 22-15. We don't think this is going to be the outcome. And if you heard the earlier segment, Pat Forty said, you know, Kentucky's going to Kentucky, which he likes. He would know. He knows the team well. Mm-hmm. But I also agree. Their brand of basketball is, once they find the groove, which obviously they haven't found yet, it's too much for most teams. So, and then, you know, Florida State's up on Gonzaga by one, which will expand, ladies and gentlemen. Gonzaga is not nearly physical enough to play with Florida State. Now watch, I say that and they end up winning.
And so you become the jinx.
And Michigan won. They beat Texas A&M, which I said would happen because Texas A&M spent all the magic against North Carolina. So.
Yep, and a lot of people that we've talked to had Michigan in their Final Four.
Yeah, I do. I actually have them in the Final Four. That's the only team. Well, Villanova I still have. But a lot of what Forty said I agreed with, and it was very interesting hearing him answer your question about the quality of play towards mm-hmm. the end of the tournament, mm-hmm. Seeing that affect the final game. And last year was a great example of that. Of the tire, you know, it's still basketball, but it's not great. It's not the highest caliber that it could be because they've had to do so much.
Yeah.
But we're going to get an alternative perspective on that same question in the next segment with one of our favorite, like OG Sideline Sass podcast guests, mm-hmm. Mr. Jerry Palm from CBS.
Jerry Palm.
The Palm Reader. This is his time of year.
To shine.
If this were Christmas, he's Santa Claus, my opinion, because this is like what he knows and what he works for and what people go to him for is mm-hmm. this bracket stuff. So it must be fun for him to sit back and kind of watch it. It's out of his hands, so it's like he's done predicting things, really, so he gets to see it unfold. But he also gets a lot of grief.
Yes.
From everyone.
Yes. And he does have a different perspective on my question mm-hmm. and the game in general. We lucked out with getting two sides of the mm-hmm. coin on this podcast. So you guys better stay tuned and listen because it goes both ways.
It does. And Jerry is in Boston. So mm-hmm. he will be covering the games. He'll get to see Purdue, which is his
alma mater.
His boys, and they're playing Texas Tech. So he gives us some insight into that game. And then he gets to see Villanova, the only team that's really been consistently what we thought they would be.
Mm-hmm.
And he has some good information on that. So stay tuned.
Yep.
He's coming up right
now. No, now.
Next.
Okay, now.
Yeah. Now. Well, we are joined now by another phenomenal basketball mind, CBS senior writer, Jerry Palm, the Palm Reader.
Woo! I like it.
Coming to us live from Boston. What's up, Jerry?
Just walking the streets of Boston, trying to find a basketball game, which you would think would be easier than it actually turns out to be.
Are you getting ready to watch the game, or the games that are on today?
Yeah, right, yeah. Hoping to find Loyola.
Yeah, that's...
Sister Jean's got any more divine intervention in her.
Well, it's funny. We actually just spoke with Pat Forty. He came on right before you, and he's in that city.
Yeah, he's
Atlanta.
covering
that game. Mm-hmm. So he's there right now, and he thinks that Sister Jean, he thinks they're going to do it over Nevada. So I was surprised.
They could.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're Loyola, you're looking at Nevada and thinking, well, we match up better with them than we did either of the first two teams play.
That's so true. But maybe they need a Goliath to play in order to be successful.
Yeah, maybe.
That's the chicken or the egg question.
I guess we will find out.
Yes. They are currently down by 3 right now, and there's 3 minutes and 50 seconds left in the first half. So
I'm sure somebody in Boston is showing that game, but I'm not seeing it yet.
Well, we wish you luck in your quest, but thankfully this buys us some time to chat with you. So I wanted to start off by just asking you a broad question about how this time of year is for you, what it's like to finally be living through these games rather than just predicting them and dealing with people asking for predictions. This is kind of your one shining moment, so I'd love to hear how it's going.
Well, people still ask for predictions. They're just different predictions than the one they asked me about for the first 4 months of the season. But
mm-hmm.
it's a lot of fun. It's a lot less stressful. I get more sleep, although not a lot more sleep because everywhere I go, I end up with a late game. But it's been fun. I get to be a little bit more involved in my own team
mm-hmm.
and actually end up lucking out and getting Purdue here in Boston. So.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that, but you know, that was just good fortune because we have to pick where we're going to go before March 1st. So obviously we don't have a bracket yet. And you know, unless you're Virginia, you don't really know where you're going to go. So
do you think that means it's in the stars for Purdue this year?
What, did I happen to be here? No. if it was going to be in the stars, Isaac Hassan have two good elbows.
Oh, that's true.
It just means that I get to see, you know, a great senior class finish their career however it finishes. So, because obviously, you know, if they get out of here in advance, they'll be in San Antonio and I'll be there too. So, I'm really looking forward to just watching this team, however many more chances I get to watch this team.
Well, and speaking of that, how do you think that Tech will match up with Purdue's 3-point efficiency? Because, you know, they're one of the best in the nation.
Yeah, they're really good. Texas Tech is a very aggressive perimeter defense team, and that's actually the kind of team that's given Purdue problems
right this
year. When they've been able to pressure Purdue's guards further out away from the basket, it makes it harder for them to get set up in their offense, which means that Purdue's got to be more aggressive in terms of taking care of the ball, but also just, you know, getting the offense going forward, not allowing themselves to be pushed back. And then, you know, obviously – Purdue sets a ton of screens to motion offense to get open looks for their 3-point shooters. They don't need a lot of space to get a shot off. guys like Dakota Mathias, mm-hmm. Carson Edwards, don't need a lot of room to take a shot. And Carson Edwards is the one guy who can create his own. Mm-hmm. But it should be a really interesting matchup because the both teams are so perimeter-oriented, and yet they've got a guy inside who can do some damage if you pay too much attention to the perimeter.
Yeah, that's a better analysis than I've heard yet. So yeah. Very comprehensive. We appreciate that. What do you think about the other game you're going to see, Villanova? I mean, they've been the most steadfast here as far as top seeds go. What do you think you're going to see from them? And do you think that we'll see possibly Final Four appearance again?
Possibly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually picked Purdue for the Final Four before the tournament, but that was when Haas had two good elbows. And I think that, you know, Purdue needs all hands on deck if they're going to beat a team like Villanova. But yeah. Villanova really looked good their first two games. They had some injuries this year. Booth was out for a while. Mm-hmm. Pascal was out for a while. But when healthy, Villanova has been a really good team this year. And if they'd been healthy all year, they might have been the overall number one seed. So, you know, for them, you know, this is not really a surprise. You know, West Virginia obviously brings some issues with the way they pressure the ball. Mm-hmm. But Villanova's got the players to handle that. And I like Villanova in that game.
Do you think Villanova's going to be cutting down the nets, honestly? And that's a big loaded
Duke.
Question. No, you think it's Duke?
Yes. Yes. I will have one spot in my bracket that is untouched.
Jesus.
Yeah, well, that's if I'm right.
Well, come on, Jerry. I need you.
At the beginning of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I picked Duke at the beginning of the tournament because they're the most talented team and they've got the best coach.
Yeah.
Villanova is not far behind that.
Right.
But Villanova doesn't have a Marvin Bagley. You know, I mean, Jalen Brunson's a great player, you know, All-American player, going to be, you know, make a bunch of money in the NBA, but they don't have a Marvin Bagley. And I think he's really the difference for Duke.
So now on to the important question. So you were in Nashville, correct, for the first part of the tournament?
Correct, yeah.
So who had the best band? And you can't say Purdue in any of these answers because I know, you know, we have some bias there. So which band really impressed you, and what were the bands like in your region?
In Nashville?
Yeah.
I would say that my favorite band was Florida State.
Okay.
Florida State had a lot of energy.
Nice.
But usually when it comes to the pep bands, I mean, that's usually kind of what separates it. You know, I mean, the music choice matters.
Right.
But Florida State's band brought a lot of energy to their games. So I would have to go with Florida State.
Well, do you think that's what's been carrying them through then?
They're going to need that energy.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think their defense and their length and their athleticism.
Yeah.
The fact that they play 11 guys, I think it's had a little bit more to do with it. I mean, I'm a band guy. I think the band's important, but the band isn't blocking any shots.
Yeah,
they're not hitting any shots. You know, they might be drinking some shots.
Yeah, the Stanford band for sure.
Yeah.
When you were in Nashville, did you get to check out that place I recommended by any chance?
I did not, because when I went to go there, the line was about a block long. It was.
That was
Saturday, St. Patrick's Day.
That's tough.
We always forget about that one.
Nashville. It was crazy.
Every time we go there, I took Kaylee there. I actually took Kaylee to Nashville as her birthday present this past fall, and we covered football. And I took her to that bar because that's my favorite bar, but it's usually really mellow. That's why I like it. So mm-hmm. that sounds like that was crazy.
Yeah, there was nothing mellow about Saturday in Nashville this time.
That's fair.
Well, good to know.
It's the bachelorette party capital of the world. It's 50% of the people walking around are women in the same shirt.
That doesn't sound like a bad deal for you.
For guys, yeah.
Sounds like a good Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of them are a little young for me. Or let me put it this way. I'm too old for them.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Go ahead.
So, I was just going to say, so in this next, you know, few games that you're going to be witnessing, is there one that really, besides what you're covering or what you're covering, is there one that's really sticking out for you that you're excited to watch?
Yeah, in any region. It doesn't just have to be where you are, but in any of the Sweet 16 games, does anything stick out as, like, the one game you have to watch?
Well, outside of the region I'm in, I would say Michigan and Texas A&M, because Michigan, you know, was playing so well down the stretch of the season. They're a really difficult team to match up with because they're so athletic. They're very perimeter-oriented. I mean, even their big man, you know, shoots a lot of threes against, you know, a Texas A&M that's got a couple of really good bigs, a team that dominated college basketball early. You know, they were, what, 11-1 into the middle of December or late December, and then, you know, they have a couple injuries, and then they get a suspension, and they're playing a bunch of games with two or only, you know, only two or three starters, and they lose five in a row. And then it was kind of hit and miss after that. And then the point guard leaves the team late in the season, and now they're playing a freshman, and that freshman is coming along pretty well. You know, if he can continue to play at the level he's played in this tournament, they look a lot like the 11-1 team that was dominating early. That's, they're not playing like a 7 seed.
Right.
And
yeah.
And they're a tough matchup. So Michigan, the way those two teams sort of match up with each other in ways that I think are problems for both teams is interesting to me.
Do you think it's possible that Texas A&M used all of that, like, energy and their best game yet against UNC, and it's going to be hard to replicate another game like that by any chance?
I'd be more worried about it if it was the 48-hour turnaround.
That's fair. That's a good point.
But sometimes you're right. I mean, but if you've, now you've switched sites, you know, you're the whole mojo switches.
That's
now,
true.
You, you're at a different site. You've got a few more days.
Yeah.
So this is a question.
It's a bit of a reset.
Yeah. And this kind of goes into a question that I've been wanting to ask a lot of you guys that are really big into the college basketball and have a lot of knowledge is, you know, I see all these guys playing these games back to back, and they have to play so many games in order to get into this national championship. But do you think that that takes away from the play once they get to the national championship? Are we seeing the highest level of play once you get there?
Yeah, I think for the most part you do. I mean, it's not always the case. Like last year's Final Four was not very good in terms of the quality of play. We had close games, but they were not really well-played games. But the year before was terrific.
Right,
so
when we were in Houston.
Really know what you're gonna get.
Jerry, remember Houston?
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yep. Yep. Yep, vaguely. Yeah. I just think it varies. I don't think the length of the season is a problem for these guys. And the ones that are going on to the NBA are going to play twice as many games.
That's true.
So,
that's true.
You know, you might as well get used to it.
So they're kind of you're hoping that at this point, if they're playing at this level.
You look at Purdue. You take a team like Purdue. Purdue played in the World University Games in August. So that was 11 games before the season before camp even started.
Wow.
And then Carson Edwards, their star player, played on the USU 19 team even before that. So he played on two international teams this year.
Yeah.
But these guys, they're playing all the time. I don't really think it matters.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
There's your answer.
I got
Kaylee's
my answer.
Been dying to ask that question. To me, it seemed like such an outsider kind of question to wonder if, like, all, because you just always take the tournament for what it is, and people that cover it and people that are used to it, that's just the way it is. You play all these games, and whoever can play them the best, you know, they end up winning. But I never thought about what kind of toll it takes on the level of play, which I guess makes sense, but I never thought of it. So she came, you know, she had a good question there. I got to give props. In the middle of our Jerry interview. Sorry,
yeah.
Jerry. Anyways. Well, we're going to let you go because we actually have to wrap up. But I'm glad we got to catch you, and I really wish I was there. I hope you're having fun this time around.
Oh, I'm sure I will. I just got here today.
Oh, okay.
It was, you know, they were expecting a nor'easter. I've now flown out of Chicago into three straight nor'easters, which does not bode well for San Antonio.
No.
You know. I mean, if we have a mystery foot of snow in San Antonio on Thursday, you're going to know why.
You can,
I showed up.
Yeah, contact Jerry Palm on Twitter.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so,
have you had any interesting? Have you had any interesting interactions on Twitter since the tournament started? Has anyone been particularly angry?
Yes. Yeah, Oklahoma State fans. Yesterday was the first day. No, today was the first day since election that I have not heard Oklahoma State fans.
Wow. Persistent group. Jeez. Big 12.
Yeah, well, they lost in the NIT last night. So
yeah,
that's
right.
Something to do with it.
That's right. I saw that.
Nothing left to say, I guess.
The end. Well, thanks, Jerry.
Thank you so much, and we hope you enjoy the games that you're about to watch and bring some luck to whoever you got on your bracket.
All right, thank you.
And have a beer for me in Boston since I'm not there.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, all right, bye, Jerry.
Bye, Jerry, thanks.
All right, bye.
Right, guys, that was the infamous, wonderful, enigmatic, I guess is a good word.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, he's mysterious, man of mystery. That was Jerry Palm from CBS, and he just broke down some great basketball stuff for us. He's in Boston right now. He's covering the games tomorrow, obviously none today. He was trying to find a place to watch.
Which seems like it would be a lot easier to find a place in Boston to watch the game. But as you can guys hear, we are in the car. We're finishing up our episode. We just left SFO Airport.
SFO Airport. SFO.
SFO.
That's right.
But maybe not everybody knows that it's Airport.
San Francisco Airport. And we picked up two people, so now it's Sideline Sass plus two. We actually picked up my little sister, Liz Van Buskirk.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
And her best friend, Emily Lupino.
Hi.
Oh, boy.
Hi.
This is their first time podcasting, so we're going to cut them some slack. They just flew in from New York City, the city that never sleeps. Little HQ.
Another HQ reference.
Another HQ
I love
reference.
It.
And we are heading to the other city that doesn't sleep, San Francisco, and we're going to show them some places on the town.
Actually, her last name is Lupino.
Oh, Lupino.
Not Lupino with an Enye, but that's okay.
I'm sorry. I like the embellishments. I'm known to embellish many things.
Peoria.
Piram. So, anyways, my apologies, Emily. Have you, so we just had some great sports names on. Jerry Palm, Liz has met. Any kind words about Jerry Palm you want to throw out there?
Or any words.
You know Jerry.
Jerry has always been, he's a great host when you're in, especially in Chicago. He showed us a great time when we were there for the Notre Dame-Stanford game.
I actually
He was
forgot.
Also a great bowl game companion most recently out here in the Bay. So yeah, Jerry's great.
He's a very knowledgeable guy. Everyone seems to like him. Like everywhere we go, he's just, this is a hard month for him. People are very mean on Twitter.
But what I was interested in is the fact too that he said that this is like the easy time of year for him because everything's just going on. He's watching things unfold.
Yeah. He doesn't have to do anything, but he has to fend off a lot of weirdos.
Yeah, that's very true. Especially Oklahoma State fans.
Don't we all have to fend off weirdos? So we saw some great games today as we recapped earlier, but we'll just go over it for the girls in the back. I don't know how much of the tournament they watch, but Loyola Chicago beat Nevada
69-68.
We also had K-State beat Kentucky, which...
K-State beat Kentucky. And shout out to Pat Forty, who thought that would never happen.
Yeah, also me.
Yeah, everybody.
Big Blue Nation, what happened?
Oof. They were down a good majority of the time, but I thought for sure at the end they'd come back.
See, and that's more like it. Like, Kentucky losing like that, that's more college basketball this year to me than anything that's happened. So, that makes sense. K-State, I don't understand. Whatever. And then Florida State over Gonzaga, my pick. The Noles.
75-60, so that was pretty convincing.
Because Gonzaga plays in the WCC. End of discussion.
And they cannot compete.
And we actually talked about that with Pat Forty, and that was a good convo, so.
Did you mention the whole Adam Morrison throwback?
No, you know, I find that if you mention Adam Morrison, that then people brand you as, like, not a real, like, don't really know much about Gonzaga, because everyone knew about, like, Morrison was,
What? I meant specifically when he cried during the Elite Eight. On the court after
he
lost.
That's a great story because Liz and I were actually at the game when Adam Morrison cried. Mm-hmm. I think they played UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
UCLA beat him or whoever
in
was.
Oakland.
Yeah, was it Oakland or SAP?
No, it was Oracle Arena.
It was Oracle? Mm-hmm. I thought it was SAP, but either way. He cried on the court. But a time before memes. Otherwise, that would have...
Oh, the best.
That would have been a great...
Better than the Michael Jordan crying
Better than crying Jordan, absolutely. Crying out of Morrison. We should try and make that happen. I think. But we got to see it live. We were there wearing my Kansas gear, even though Kansas was not in that region. So those are the people that I kind of usually make fun of, but, you know, when in Rome. So anyways, well, that's a lot of college basketball for today. So we got all the games. There's some slated tomorrow. If you want to see what's going on with those games, check Jerry Palm's segment in our podcast earlier. And we want to hear, before we toss out of this excellent episode, our
amazing episode, number 15. Woo! It was a good one.
The mobile podcast. That's really what we are now. We want to toss back and see what these girls in New York, what do people do in New York for fun to watch sports? What do you guys do?
What do they do for fun?
How's the snow?
Yeah, it's
you. Snow is awful.
But you're from...
I'm from Jersey.
Yeah.
You would think I'd be used to it by now, but I'm not. And also, I had to trek into work in the snow. It was miserable.
They say it gets pretty gross.
It's just, the subways are disgusting.
She had a photo shoot yesterday, so.
Oh. Yes, Emily is, and now explain to me the title here.
I'm a photo editor.
Photo editor at.
Work for a bunch of magazines under Hearst Corporation.
Exactly. Very cool job, which sounds like.
Yeah.
Amazing. Do you enjoy it?
Yeah. It could be fun. It can be hard. But, you know, it's good.
Well, her Instagram is. Always looking good because of this fact. Also, she's very creative herself. So
you want to like follow me?
Give her, yeah. Well, actually, we do social media shout outs on our podcast. So tell us your handle.
Emily_Lupps.
Okay.
LUPPS.
Perfect. And that will be in the show notes. And then perfect. Liz doesn't have social media.
I mean, I have an Instagram.
You do have an Instagram.
It's sparse.
It's private. It's okay. You don't have to follow me.
It's sparse.
I think three is enough for one day.
She did have a Twitter, but she never uses it. So.
I had an alias.
Yeah, now she just catfishes people.
We'll get some good new pics up before the episode goes.
I have plenty of people that we need you to internet bully, so.
Well, let's keep that on
cyber bully.
Just, you know.
Internet bully.
Hopefully that's edited off this week's
episode. In that vein, my sister is actually graduating from law school in 2 months.
Woo! Can't wait. It'll be my first time to New York.
And everyone will be present for the graduation.
Everyone here is going to the ceremony. How does it feel like...
To be a law school graduate.
Yeah. Well, almost law school graduate. Yeah. It's, you know, it's nice, but it's like kind of scary because now I'm actually going to be in the real world for good. No more school after this. So, we'll see.
Well, good luck.
We got a shout out.
You don't want to be a doctor?
I think I might go to med school, actually.
Then
I might get a PhD in law in England.
We need to go to all the schools that take extra schooling. So, like, nursing school, maybe.
I'm going to go back as a college athlete. I'm just going to, like, reprisal.
Well, and fun fact is Liz played Division I soccer at USF here for 2 years under one year. Yeah. Under one of the worst coaches in NCAA. Oh, this guy, we're in his Snapchat over here. Oh, hey. Okay. That was cool. Hold on. I know everyone's going to be super pissed at me right now because I'm driving in traffic and messing everyone up.
All right, everyone. Well, that was it for this exciting episode of the Sideline Sass podcast. Yep. Thank you so much for joining for number 15. Thanks to the ladies in the back for joining us.
Bye.
And can you tell them, can you tell the listeners what they need to do?
What do they need to do?
Stay sassy.
Woo.
All right.
See you on the next one.
That's it for this one. We'll see you for 16, our sweet 16.
Oh, our sweet 16.
We're going to have extra special cake here.
I love it. Adios.
Bye.
With wisdom.